Welcome to The GOAT, Tom Brady. I'm Gary Myers, author of the New York Times bestseller, Brady vs. Manning. And thanks so much for listening to Bonus Episode 6, Tom Brady, Soup for Seven. Even with the pandemic limiting Raymond James Stadium to 22,000 fans for Super Bowl 55, about one-third capacity, the atmosphere will be electric as Tom Brady goes for his seventh Super Bowl championship. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. The GOAT versus the baby GOAT. And the Bucs are the first team to play the Super Bowl on their home field. Soup's on. And now think about this. It was almost unimaginable when Brady played for the Patriots, the evil empire of the NFL, but I think he's now the sentimental favorite in the Super Bowl. I have friends who are lifelong Jets fans who've set aside the hatred they had for Brady when he was playing for Bill Belichick and the Patriots were beating the Jets twice a year, and they're now rooting for Tom in the Super Bowl. I mean, he's going against players just about half his age in a physically demanding sport. Mahomes was just 6.5 years old when Brady won his first Super Bowl after the 2001 season. Besides, is there a father or a mother who could not relate to Brady hugging his son Jack, standing by the railing of the stands at Lambeau Field in Green Bay after the NFC Championship game? What an incredible accomplishment for Brady at his age. In his first year with a new team, with no off-season program to get acclimated to his new teammates, with a scaled-down training camp, and to now win seven in a row by winning three playoff games on the road to get back home is just amazing. Tom Brady Sr. told me that he and his wife, Galen, who is a cancer survivor, each contracted COVID at the beginning of the NFL season in September. They live in San Mateo in Northern California. Tom Sr. told me he was in the hospital for 18 days for what he described to others as a life and death situation. Tom called twice a day to check on his parents. This is a stress that makes him very relatable as the country is going through a once-in-a-century pandemic. Thankfully, his parents have recovered and will be in Tampa for Super Bowl 55. Here's Tom.
They're doing great. So I think that's the best part about all of it is they came through it. And, I think one thing as you get older as, an athlete, one thing for, me experiencing, a lot of different things over the course of my career is, there's a lot of family things that take place. And, my situation, it could be my parents, but also I have kids and, it's just a lot of things that happen in your life. Like all of us, as you get older, there's more that you take on. So I still obviously love, going out there and competing. But on the other side of that, there's a lot of family things that are very important to me. And certainly the health of my parents is very important. And although I was far away, I had three sisters who were, doing everything they could to help at the time too. So I'll be very excited to certainly know my parents will be in the stands for the game on Sunday. They only made it to one game this year. It wasn't a very good outcome, the Saints game at home, which was pretty rough for all of us. But I'll have a full contingent, all coming in on, I think, Saturday afternoon and ready to watch the game and cheer us on.
On this episode of The GOAT, Tom Brady, I'm going to talk with former Giants quarterback Eli Manning, the only quarterback to face Brady twice in the Super Bowl, who will discuss what it was like beating him twice. And you will hear from former Giants defensive end Justin Tuck, another two-time Super Bowl champion, who was a pass-rushing force on the defense in Super Bowl 42 that may have set the blueprint for the Chiefs on how to beat Brady in the Super Bowl. The 2007 Giants team of Manning and Tuck prevented Brady and the Patriots from completing the first perfect 19-0 season in NFL history. Tom woke up the next morning praying it was just a bad dream. Sorry about that, Tom. the loss is still painful to Brady. This year's Chiefs have two things in common with those Giants. Steve Spagnuolo was the Giants' defensive coordinator and is now Kansas City's defensive coordinator. And just like the Giants, the Chiefs have a strong pass rush, especially up the middle with Chris Jones, which has always been Brady's kryptonite. When Eli Manning retired last January, Brady sent out an entertaining, congratulatory tweet. Here's quoting Tom. "Congratulations on your retirement and great career, Eli. Not gonna lie though, I wish you hadn't won any Super Bowls." That was the end of the tweet. Manning beat Brady with last minute drives in each Super Bowl following the 2007 and 2011 seasons. This is Brady's sixth Super Bowl in the last 10 years. So here's what I asked Eli Manning.
Eli, when you think about at the time that you beat him twice, those 4 years apart, he had three championships, and he's won three more since then, and then has a chance to get another, which would give him seven. Is that, for a fellow quarterback, is that almost incomprehensible?
It is. I mean, what he's been able to accomplish, you know, let alone this season, but, you know, in his first 20 years in New England and going to, you know, so many Super Bowls, winning that many, and you know, then you throw in the amount of AFC championship games they went to and lost. You know, I mean, you know, the amount of wins they could have had, you know, championships, you know, so you know, it could have been even better than what it was. They were so close on so many other times. But then, let alone this year, at age 43 in his 21st season and changing teams during a pandemic and a shortened off season, and the rules were different, and for him to go in there and kind of get the same result and getting back to a Super Bowl, I mean, you just, you know, you thought that it wouldn't be possible. You know, just there'd be too many things to overcome and to get comfortable. But I don't know if it's, you know, whether it's just his play or just his demeanor or something that he has that gets other people to either prepare harder or work harder or just, you know, believe that they're going to win, have them. There's got to be, he's got to have some special formula that he has that brings the best out of everybody around him.
The Giants' victory over the Patriots in Super Bowl 42 was the second greatest upset in pro football history, just behind Joe Namath and the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III. In my opinion, Eli Manning had a Hall of Fame career, even though his overall record in the regular season was just 117-117. But he was outstanding in the biggest moments in the two Super Bowls he played in against Tom Brady. Back to my conversation with Eli.
I know winning the game is great, winning the MVP is great, to do it twice is good, but to have done it against him and his status now is maybe the greatest of all time. Does that make it even more special for you?
You know, not at the time, just because at the time, it's, you know, you're just worried and so just excited about winning a championship, what it means, you know, for me personally, what it means to the organization, the fan base, your teammates, you know, so many people. It's not about, you know, who you beat. It's about what we were able to accomplish together as our group, as the New York Giants. So I think as years, you know, have passed and continue to go, and you start, you know, you look at you know, kind of the his success and his all you know, the times he's been in championships, you know, it kind of becomes more unique. But it's not, you know, I've been around Tom a bunch, and you know, we've become friends, and I never mentioned the Super Bowls. I never kind of trash talk to him, you know, really about those, just because, you know, just he brings it up. I mean, I got no, you know, he's got all the bragging rights. He's got six championships and, you know, 10 Super Bowls. And you know, he brings it up, especially the 07 season, because I think it still bothers him that we won that game. I think he's, you know, he wanted to go down as the greatest team of all time and have the undefeated season. So he brings that up more than I do.
You're listening to a special episode of The GOAT, Tom Brady. We'll be back in a moment. Brady won 3 Super Bowls in his first 4 years as a starter, and then was stuck on 3 for 10 years. The gap made him appreciate even more how difficult it is to win the Super Bowl. He's now won 3 in the last 6 years. In a conversation I had with Brady before he won his 4th title, he was telling me how incredible it was for Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw to win 4. And he said, well, you know, it's not like anybody's going to win 6 or 7. He was wrong about that, of course. Here's what Tom told me back then.
But it's not like you're going to win 6, you know, 6, 7 Super Bowls. It's just, you know, it's why didn't Michael Jordan win 12 championships? Right. I mean, he won 6. I mean, that's still a ton, but yeah. I mean, you're not going to, with how good the other players are, the level playing field, especially in the NFL, in the salary cap era, it's, you know, it's hard to win. There's so much turnover on the teams. There's so much injuries become a factor in a season. You know, one critical player on one side of the ball gets injured. Mm-hmm. So winning the Super Bowl is about putting yourself, your team in a position when it matters in January, and then your matchups each game.
When the Giants beat the Patriots the first time in the Super Bowl, they did it by making Brady uncomfortable in the pocket. No quarterback likes pressure. Steve Spagnuolo devised a game plan to utilize the Giants' 3 best pass rushers on passing downs together by moving Justin Tuck inside the team with defensive ends Michael Strahan and O.C. Umenyura. The Giants sacked Brady 5 times. Tuck had 2 of them and could easily have been named Super Bowl MVP. The Patriots had set the record that season for most points scored, but the Giants held them to just 14. Here's Tuck on the Super Bowl game plan against Tom Brady.
The game plan was sack Brady and do everything in our power to sack him and to hit him and to make his life uncomfortable and miserable. And we really didn't care. I mean, honestly, there's other things in the game plan, but if you boiled it down, we really didn't care about anybody else. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And in order for us to have had any chance in those Super Bowls, you know, he's the head of the snake. So in order to kill a snake, you got to cut the head off.
Mm-hmm.
And our game plan was we played the run to the quarterback. We didn't have any run blitzes or run stunts or anything like that. Everything was solely focused on getting to 12. And if there was a running back in our way and he just so happened to have the ball, we'll tackle him on your way to 12. that was pretty much 90% of the game plan. Now, the Spags did a really good job of adjusting and throwing in wrinkles and having enough wrinkles in his game plan depending upon what we saw from them throughout the game. But, you know, That game plan was probably one of the more vanilla game plans we've ever put together, right? It don't look like it, but you know there was not a lot of complex stuff,
mm-hmm.
especially not on the front seven side. Now we might have did a little bit more stuff on the back end as far as disguising some coverages and trying to confuse Tom, which, you know, you're not going to do that. But, like, if we can get him to slow down just a second on his read, then obviously it gave us up front to do a little bit more time and to do what we were doing. But for the most part, it was pinning your ears back, get to the quarterback.
I followed up with Tuck.
No quarterback likes to be hit, but was there something about him that you felt, you know, if you put enough shots on him that it could change his game? Was he any more vulnerable to that?
I just don't think he was used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tom's a tough guy. You know, we didn't do anything from a physical standpoint to limit him from playing his best ball. I know we've played some quarterbacks and we've had, you know, those type of games against them, and they either get hurt, they're bruised up, but for us. And what I noticed with him in these games is he was more frustrated mentally than it was a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he probably went and got in the cold stuff like we all did the other day because he got hit a lot. But I don't think the physical toll that we had on him in that game did as much as the mental toll, and the fact that, especially in 2007, everything just seemed to have went his way, and not only him personally, but that team in general. And now it was up against this obstacle, a real dogfight of a game for, maybe, I haven't went back and looked at the games that they played that year, but maybe for the first time that year, they felt they had to really fight, four quarters for a win there.
The biggest throw Manning made in Super Bowl 42 came after he escaped pressure and lofted a pass down the middle of the field that David Tyree pinned against his helmet as he was being hit by Rodney Harrison. It was good for 32 yards to New England 24-yard line with just 59 seconds left. Four plays later, Manning lofted a 13-yard pass to a wide-open Plaxico Burress in the left corner of the end zone for the winning touchdown with 35 seconds remaining. The Giants were only 10-6 in 2007 and won three playoff games on the road to get to the Super Bowl, just as Brady and the Bucks have done this season. The Giants' regular season record tied for worst for a Super Bowl champion. 4 years later, the Giants set the record for the worst record by a Super Bowl champion. They were 9-7, and they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl 21-17. Manning once again made the key play. The Giants were down by 3 when they took possession at their 12-yard line with 3:46 left in the game. On first down, Manning lofted a perfectly thrown pass down the left sideline that Mario Manningham caught and was able to keep both feet in bounds. The play picked up 38 yards. Manning could not have placed the ball any better if he walked down the field down to where Manningham was and put it right in his hands. 8 plays later, Ahmad Bradshaw scored the winning touchdown on a 6-yard run. In each of those Super Bowl losses, Brady had the ball one more time, but was limited to just throwing it down the field and praying. The Hail Mary prayers were not answered.
You're listening to a special episode of The GOAT, Tom Brady. We'll be back in a moment.
The Brady mystique is real and definitely a factor in this game. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes must be careful not to get sucked in by it. He played against Brady in the conference championship game 2 years ago. He played in the Super Bowl last year, but he's never faced Brady in a Super Bowl. As great as Mahomes has been for 3 years, there is still pressure facing the GOAT in the Super Bowl. Here's Eli Manning.
You have to be kind of cautious of not saying, hey, we have to play the perfect game. Because it's not about playing the perfect game, because if you think that's what you have to do and you make one mistake, it doesn't mean you're going to lose the game. It's just about knowing that you're going to have to, you're going to have to play smart, and you're going to have to, you're going to have to step up in the critical moments of games and kind of, make the plays when you have opportunities, because you don't want to give him a second chance, and you don't want to make it any easier than it has to be for him.
I asked Manning who he liked in Super Bowl 55.
You know, I think both teams are playing really, really well. I think Tampa's defense is really good. I think Tom is playing great. They got playmakers all over the field. I think Tampa will be able to move the ball and score points. But I don't know. Kansas City just, as good as Tom is, especially he has, Mahomes kind of has that some of those same abilities, just to make plays in critical moments, of being down in games and finding ways to win, and just have Kelce and Tyreek Hill, just so many playmakers. I think it's a great matchup, and I think it's just going to be kind of one of those timing issues of a game. It's kind of who gets the ball last, who kind of makes that critical play late in the fourth quarter to win a football game. And, I think it could definitely go either way. I think Kansas City, I think they're going to win, but I think, it could easily go either way.
Who do I like? The Chiefs' offense looks unstoppable. Tyreek Hill ran right through the Bucks defense in Kansas City's 27-24 victory in Tampa on November 29th. He had 203 yards receiving and two touchdowns in the first quarter as the Chiefs jumped out to a 17-0 lead. But the Bucks held Mahomes to just 10 points in the last three quarters, although they could not get the ball out of his hands at the end of the fourth quarter, which would have given them a chance to send the game into overtime or even win it. Mahomes ran the last 4 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock by picking up three first downs. I think the Bucks will benefit by being exposed to Mahomes and Hill and the fast break Chiefs offense. I think this will be another Brady-Mahomes shootout. But ultimately, this has been a magical year for Tom Brady, and I just feel this ends with his seventh Super Bowl championship. Bucks 31, Chiefs 27. Soup's on. I'm Gary Myers, and thanks so much for listening to bonus episode 6 of The GOAT, Tom Brady. The GOAT, Tom Brady, is a production of Diversion Podcast in association with iHeartRadio. This season is written and hosted by me, Gary Myers. Executive producers Scott Waxman and Mark Francis for Diversion Podcast and Sean Titone for iHeartRadio. Story editing by Scott Waxman with editorial direction from John Tuttle. Editing, mixing, and sound design by Mark Francis. Archival research by Brianne Murphy. Verna Fields is our technical producer, and our Director of Marketing and Business Development is Jacob Bronstein. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum at UTA. Find Diversion on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Diversion Pods. And let us know, what do you think of the show? Send us your questions, your comments, and even your critiques. That's Diversion Pods on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.